Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Well, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Hope everyone, thank you. Thank you so much. Hope everyone's having a great Sunday so far, and I've never preached at 9:51 in the morning before, but looking forward to it. Guys have got the shade spot, and we got some breeze going through here, so I'm trusting and hoping for a great day to be had as we gather for worship. Do want to say thank you so much for being flexible. Your leadership team met yesterday evening, and I know it was last minute, but we just felt like with everything going on, this was the best case, at least for the next 2 weeks. We're going to kind of take it in 2 week increments. So thankful that we kind of have all of these logistics, to be able to come outside and to do this type of service. Just a reminder, the sermon notes are on the YouVersion Bible app, and you can go to the menu at the bottom and go to events, and you can find it there. You can find it there, as well as there on our website. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. And we're beginning a new series today from a book that I would argue is probably, it's a book that has a few stories that you would know and you would find to be very familiar. And so that's where we're going to be today as we begin this series called The Stand. The book of Daniel is one of the more fascinating books of the Bible to me. It's a Bible that tells the story of the Israelites in exile under Babylonian rule. For me, the Israelites in exile is one of the most telling stories. It's one of the most telling moments for the people of God. It is in the exile that the people of God have to be very deliberate about the devotion to God. They are constantly forced into a decision of serving God or conforming to the world around them. In many ways, we face the same choices in our world today. We live in a world where we are continually forced with moments of choosing to take a stand. But it takes wisdom to take a stand. It takes wisdom to understand the right things, the right time, and the right way to take a stand. The opposite of taking a stand could be compromise. And it takes wisdom to understand, you know, when is the right time to compromise, and more importantly, when is not the right time to compromise. Maybe to compromise over the wrong things at the wrong time or in the wrong way. For those of you who are country music fans, it's Aaron Tippin said it best: you got to stand for something or what? Or you're fall for anything. I heard it from in there. They got it. As he said, you got to stand for something or you're fall for anything. And so today we're going to look at what does it mean to stand out for God. What does it mean to stand out for God? Babylonian exile of the Israelites, it goes back to about 605 BC when Jehoiakim, was king of Judah. Jehoiakim was the son of Josiah. Josiah was one of Judah's most devout and beloved kings. But unfortunately, Jehoiakim did not follow the example of his father. His blatant and continual disregard for God's commands earned him repeated warnings from the prophet Jeremiah. And as a result, God sent the Babylonians there to move the Israelites into exile. The Babylonians are ruled by a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Can you say that? Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, when I was in Sunday school, when you hear the word Nebuchadnezzar, you go, boo. So we're going to try that, okay? So I'm when I say the name Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to go what? Ooh. So the Babylonians are ruled by a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, boo, there we go. We'll just do that one time because that might get old if we keep on doing that because we're going to say his name a lot. But he's ruled by Nebuchadnezzar. He doesn't just take the Israelites into exile, but he destroys Jerusalem. He burns the temple and humiliates the people of God by taking their faith symbols from the temple. And so the first two verses in Daniel, if you're there in Daniel chapter 1, and in your YouVersion Bible notes, I put the whole chapter in there. We're not going to read all through that, but that's just there for reference. But in the first two chapters, it's described a very grim situation. A couple things are going on. God's people are dominated by foreign powers. They're forced to live in a foreign land, and they're tempted to assimilate into a foreign culture. These three elements, they create the backdrop. They create the backdrop for the message of the book and story or vision within it. This is why I believe the story of the exile is so very significant for us, because in many ways, we as Christians, we are living in a foreign land. We're living in a foreign land. Sure, we live in the good old USA. But this isn't our primary citizenship. As much as we love the USA, as much as we enjoy the freedoms of the USA, the American is not our primary citizenship. In fact, I think that causes a lot of issues sometimes. We think that we're American first and we're Christian, but that's not the right way to see it. We are Christians who just happen to live in the United States of America. And so as much as we may love the USA, this is not our primary citizenship. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. And as a result, we are faced each and every day with these decisions to stand out, these decisions to not conform to the patterns of the world, to not assimilate into the pattern of the world. So we're going to see what it means to stand through the example of Daniel and his three friends who are going to be introduced here shortly. But look at verses 3 through 5. Verses 3 through 5 of Daniel chapter 1. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. Look at this. He was to teach them, so Ashpenaz was over these young men, Ashpenaz was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So the Israelites, if they haven't been humiliated enough by their city being ransacked, by their temple being burned, and their faith symbols being taken back into Babylon, into their temples, if they haven't been humiliated enough by all of that, now they've been ransacked of their future leaders. This was an attempt to not only conquer the Israelites, but to assimilate them into the Babylonian culture. This would be done by beginning to assimilate the younger generation, and also by taking the brightest, the youngest and the brightest among them. If they could assimilate them, then Nebuchadnezzar wouldn't have to worry about their sharp young leaders being able to devise a plan to overthrow the Babylonians. In teaching them the language, it's almost like the Babylonians are trying to change how they think, how they behave, and how they believe. Think about that. I think Nebuchadnezzar, he's trying to change these young men, how they think, how they behave, and how they believe. And folks, if we're not careful, in this world, the enemy, the prince of the earth, the enemy that is roaming here, the Satan is always seeking who he may devour, as the New Testament tells us. He's always seeking who he may devour. If we're not careful, we live in a world in which the enemy is always trying to change how we think, change how we believe, and change how we behave. And this is why we have to stand. As Christians, we have to be very intentional about our faith journey. You just can't be a cultural Christian and really be very victorious in your spiritual life. And you may think, well, what's a cultural Christian? Following Christ is more than just marking a religion on your census form. Which, by the way, if I could put on my county councilman hat, I hope you fill out your census. If you haven't, come see me. I'll tell you how to do it. Back to the sermon. Christianity is more than just what you mark on a census form. It's not enough to say, well, I live in America and yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in a higher power. Of course, I live in the South. We live in America. My grandma went to church, or my mom and dad went to church. If we're going to stand up, if we're going to stand out, we have to move beyond just a cultural Christianity. We have to move beyond just showing up once a week for church. We have to move beyond just surface level and really dive in deep. Dive in deep into the Word. Dive in deep into sharing life with other believers. And dive in deep into prayer. Honestly, we have to make the presence of the Lord a priority in our life. A priority where you seek Him, where you depend on Him, where you're living and dwelling in His Word, where it's feeding you, where it's renewing your mind, where you're learning to walk by faith and not by sight, where you're hearing the Holy Spirit guide you. You just can't kind of, sort of, be Christian. I think this is why Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11, and then we'll also read verse 13. Put on the full armor of God, Paul says, so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. You see that? Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your what? Your stand against the devil's schemes. Look at verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to what? Stand. We just can't willy-nilly, if you will, into this thing. Christianity, a following Christ, is a deliberate, intentional decision to walk as He walked, to talk as He talked, to live as He would have us to live each and every day. Back to our story in Daniel. Look at verses 6 through 7. So He pulls in Daniel and these three other friends, and we get their names here. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name of Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. And you're like, oh, okay, now I know this story, right? To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. So Nebuchadnezzar, he takes the brightest and the youngest. These boys would have probably been about anywhere from 12 to 15 years of age. Probably would have been about the age of Adam Solis or around that age group. And so I think that's really significant. One, I think sometimes as young people, we read the Bible and we, we get this image of like all these old people in the Bible, but it's not really that at all. There's actually a lot of young people that are in the Bible, whether it's these guys, whether it's Timothy, whether it's some of the disciples, whether it's Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's interesting, all the young people that God uses. And so these boys, these young men that Nebuchadnezzar pulls in from Judah, these young, bright leaders, are these guys here. And the name change is very significant. Because their Hebrew names, watch this, their Hebrew names represented Yahweh. All of their Hebrew names had some sort of connection, had some sort of description. It was a description of who Yahweh is. Of who Yahweh is. And so every time, if they were going to be in Babylon, if they kept their old names, every time their name would be called, then the Babylonians will be reminded of Yahweh and who Yahweh is. And so in order to fully assimilate, they changed their name. The changing of their name and their diet, that's the next thing that we're going to see. Not only do they change their name, but they also change their diet. And honestly, it reminds us that our convictions as followers of Christ will often put us in conflict with culture. Our convictions with Christ will often put us in conflict with culture. So they changed their name. They also gave them a new diet. But look at verse 8. This is very interesting. So we don't see much of an objection with the name change. But we do see an objection. We do see the boys take a stand when it comes to the diet. Look at verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the chief official permission not to defile himself this way. So now we're going to see them begin to take a stand. I'm going to be honest with you. This was a tough call to take a stand. Because I'm just going to say, I would imagine food from the king's table, that's pretty good stuff. I'm just being honest with you. If I'm in this situation, I may fight the name change, but I'll stick with the royal food. I'm kidding. But it's interesting. I believe the reason why the boys didn't worry about the name change, but they worried about the food, was because the food was a direct representation of God. When it came to God's name being defiled, it was at that moment that they had to take a stand. Their diet was instructed by God, and the king was offering food that wasn't just beyond their dietary restrictions, but it was food that had been sacrificed to false gods. And so it's interesting that Daniel, look at that, it says Daniel resolved. It's almost like Daniel made a predetermined resolution. He made a predetermined decision that I am not going to cross this line. And I think as believers, it's important for us to understand if we're going to take a stand, we have to take inventory of those things in our life. We have to take inventory of those things that we know matter most to God, those things that matter most to our walk with Christ, those habits that we know keep us from walking closely with the Lord. And we have to be predetermined that we are not going to cross that line. I think that's how you take a stand. Whether it is in relationships, decisions you make in relationships, I think it's important that you put a line there and you're predetermined that I'm not going to cross this line. The issue is we run into times where we don't think about it and we get to the line and then we're like, oh Lord, help me. And the Lord's like, oh, you should have been praying about this long before you got that close there, son. But that's anything. How we handle our finances, things that go on at work, how we're going to take a stand. We have to be predetermined in our mind that we're going to take a stand for certain things. So Daniel and his friends, they choose to stand out for the Lord. But I want you to take notice of how they stand out. Because some of you may be hearing this today, you're like, oh yeah, man, I'll take a stand. Man, you see me on, I'm a keyboard warrior, I'll take a stand. Give me that keyboard, get me on Facebook. Watch me take a stand, preacher. I'll show them. I'll take a stand. I'll give them the what for. All those crazy liberals, I'll take a stand against them. That's easy. Or if you're on the other side, I'll take a stand about that crazy alt-right or whatever. It takes wisdom to take a stand. Look at what the guys do. Daniel and his friends, they don't just yell or demand their way. Look at kind of how they respect the chain of command. He went to Ashpenaz and says, "Hey, you know, we think it's honestly, we really need to stick to our own diet, please, sir." And the guy said, "Listen," Ashpenaz says, "Listen, this is your diet. It's going to help you be healthy. I'm going to get in trouble if in 2 weeks or 10 days or a certain amount of time, you're not as healthy as the rest of the people." And Daniel comes and he negotiates, says, "Listen, just give us a chance. Give us a chance. We're going to prove to you that if you allow us to follow our diet, we will be stronger, we will be healthier, we will look better than everyone else." And so Daniel and his friends, they didn't just jump on Facebook and start yelling and start throwing stuff and say, "We're going to take a stand." They did it with kindness. They did it with wisdom. It takes humbleness and wisdom to stand out. Humbleness and wisdom to stand out. And look at verse 19. The king talked with them and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. You know, these boys were put in a pretty tough situation. In fact, as we move through the book of Daniel, we're going to find out that compared to what they're about to encounter, this was a fairly mild situation for them to stand out for. But we have to be mindful that there's always a purpose. There's always a purpose when God gives us the opportunity to stand out. As we go through the book of Daniel, we're going to see over and over how God used Daniel and his friends to stand out. And I'm sure there were moments. I'm sure that there were moments when they were standing up and standing out that they thought, "God, are you sure that you're with us? God, are you sure that this is what you would have us to do?" And despite possible questions, they chose to, by faith, to stand out. I think we're also reminded that God is still present. Don't ever forget that. When you're placed in situations where you feel powerless, where you feel like it's so hard to stand out, God is still present and God is still sovereign. We cannot discount the sovereignty of God in the book of Daniel. It may appear that things are out of control, but chapter 1 reminds us of what it means to live faithfully, even when we feel powerless. Daniel is subject to human forces beyond his control. Yet those forces do not ultimately determine the outcome. In reality, God overrules Daniel's life. Being under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar does not mean being out of the hand of God. And I don't know who needs to hear that right now. I don't know what Nebuchadnezzar represents in your life. But being under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, being in your current situation, does not mean that you are out of the hand of God. I believe someone needed to hear that today. Someone is in a situation of question. Someone is in a situation of doubt. Someone is in a situation of do I stand out? Do I make this decision? Or do I go this way? You are not out of the hand of God. Please know that. So as we begin to wrap it up, where do you need to stand out? What's that area of life in which you've been compromising? It's something to think about. I don't know what that situation is for you. Only you know that. Let me ask you another question. It could be that today, your first moment to stand out is a decision to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It could be that you've been going through the motions. It could be that you've been relying on the fact that you were raised here, or that your mama, your dad, your grandfather have always been in church. It could be that you feel like you've just kind of been fading into things. You've been going to youth group. You've been going to this small group. You've been going to all the activities. But you realize, you know what? I don't really stand out. And it could be that today your first decision of what it is to stand out is to make a decision for Jesus Christ. If you're watching online, if you've joined us online, you may be in that situation right now. You may be in a situation where you've just been going through the motions. And the invitation is very clear today. That Jesus Christ, in Jesus, we see evidence that God loves us. We see evidence that God is faithful. We see evidence that when it feels like life is crashing in all around us, when it feels like the Nebuchadnezzar, if you will, of life is just moving in on us. In Christ, we see the evidence that God is indeed with us. And so today I would invite you just to pray that simple prayer. To invite the love of Christ, to invite Christ into your heart. To say, you know what, I'm going to stop just doing the surface level stuff. I'm going to stand out. I'm going to make a deliberate, conscious decision to serve Jesus Christ. It's not something that we fade into. That could be you today. If you're a believer, been walking with Him with Christ for a while, there could be situations in which you need to stand out. There should be maybe a situation at work or a situation in your family. I'm praying that God gives you wisdom and humbleness in that situation. At the end of the day, we serve the great I am. We serve the one who says, I am that I am. Which just reminds us that God is. God is faithful. God is going to be who He's going to be. And no matter where you are, what you're facing, we serve a faithful God. Please know that you are loved. James is going to lead us in our closing song. Let's worship the Lord as we proclaim this together.
Misery, death is a lie. I want to hear.
Amen. Well, thank you again for being here and just being flexible. You know, through this whole situation, one of the but it gives us discipline. In some translations, self-discipline is translated self-control or wisdom. And so through this whole situation, your leadership team, we have not been timid. We have not been fearful. We understand that God is with us. But we also know that in His love, He gives us self-discipline and He gives us wisdom. And some translations say a sound mind. And so thank you so much for being flexible with us as we use the sound mind that God indeed has given us. If you have an offering tithe today, you can. I think Kyle is going to come out and he'll stand out there by the tree. You can give your offering to him. But it's been a great day in the house of the Lord. It's been a great day in the house of the Lord. Stay tuned. Stay close with your email and social media channels, and we'll let you know all that's going on. Many of you know Lindsay. We've had her here before, and she was scheduled over 6 months ago when she was coming to camp meeting. She was going to be in the area, so we asked her to come. And honestly, 3 months ago, she reached out to me and said, "Do you still want to stick with this date?" And I said, "Yeah, I do, because I understand how our evangelists and our song evangelists, this is a very scary time for them." And so we want to honor that date. And so we're going to do that. And it may be unique in how we honor it, but we're going to do that. Church, you are loved. Please know, you are loved by your pastor. The last few months have not been easy. But God has been faithful. And you, every single one of you, have been a blessing. Have been a blessing to me in just how you have trusted not only me, but your entire leadership team to help us navigate that. I want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to use the love, the wisdom, and the sound mind that God has given all of us so that we can go with power, go without fear to continue the work of the gospel, even if it's like this. Would you go in grace? Would you go in peace? You're loved. Have a great day. Have a great morning. Hey, you still got your morning, all right? Yeah.